This day in my life has me wondering what kind of a day you have on your plate. What
Dad.
Sort of things you have.
Dad.
My daughter is in the back
Can
of the car.
The pony story?
And she wants me to tell her the pony story. So that's a typical start to my day. We get into the car and we drive. But today is special and different in that there's a long traffic jam in front of us and it looks like it's going to take us quite a while to get to school.
Foggy.
And as you heard that, my partner in storytelling in the back of the car, who's holding one of her favorite toys in her hand, is good at telling what the weather is like outside.
Dad, I want the pony story.
And she knows exactly what she wants, so she's practicing assertiveness skills already at the start of the day. Absolute
Dad,
clear statement.
I want the pony.
And she's using the broken record technique, which is the one of repeating what you said a minute ago over again. So it's a day for practicing skills, I suppose.
Dad! And I'm fed up of waiting. I want the pony story.
And then she adds the emotional dimension to the assertion. So,
Dad, I have a toy and I'm not afraid to use it. And I'm aiming at your head.
So she fills in some additional information that you might need in order to help you with decision making.
Hey, hand me back my toy.
All toys thrown into the front of the car from the back of the car are confiscated and put into toy prison.
Dad, I want my toy back.
And now you're practicing presentation skills by raising the voice to a higher level than usual. And when your audience don't quite respond in the way that you expect them to, one of the techniques you need to practice and get out of your system is shouting. If you can shout at your audience when you're starting off learning presentation skills,
Dad,
you might think that you'll get their attention. Right. Make clear the consequences of their behavior to your audience. That's important because that means that whatever you do, you can always say to yourself, well, I told you so. Now, as we turn towards the Dunkettle roundabout on my way in to yet another traffic jam, the traffic jam that comes down from Dublin, heading under this magnificent civil engineering project, I'm about to move into a different mode. I'm going to now practice my critical parent. Grace, if you do that again, there will be no television at all.
I want my
This is not a smiling matter.
I want my puppy back.
Right? Throw one more thing into the front of the car, right? And I promise you, I really do promise you, what you'll get as a treat is zero television. Zero television as a treat.
I want my puppy back.
Okay. Well, you might want your puppy back. I hear what you're saying, by the way, about the puppy. Right? But the puppy went to prison, right? You're going to have to do something really, really good to get the puppy out of prison. So think about that while I carry on with telling the other people what's going on today in my life. Well, you're entitled to want the pony story. That is about the ninth time you've told me that. Now, the traffic lights have turned green here. And civil engineering project is called the Jack Lynch Tunnel. Now, Jack Lynch is not alive, and Jack Lynch was not the engineering supervisor, the architect on the project, right? Neither was he the poet that inspired the project, neither was he the designer, but he was the person who signed off on it, probably. Or if he didn't sign off on it, he certainly... I'm convinced that he probably signed off on it. In other words, he was an elected representative of the people, elected into office in politics, that noble art. And as a consequence of it, he is immortalized. And long after Jack Lynch is forgotten, the Jack Lynch Tunnel will be here. And there are discreet reminders around the tunnel. This is the sound of the Jack Lynch Tunnel. But there are discreet reminders in the understated way that signage is done in the city of Cork to let you know that this is the Jack Lynch Tunnel. It's not the Eoin O'Callaghan Tunnel, or it's not the Nama Tunnel, or it's not any other well-known other well-known personality. Jack Lynch may have been, and I say use the word very carefully, may have been the last honest Prime Minister in Ireland. And that reminds me of the work that I'm doing today, which is every moment I have of time, I'll be working on storytelling, and the story that I'll be telling is a story that is at present in a book and that is being reformulated into an e-book, and that's called Irish Epic Poem in 33 Cantos. So today is got a lot of storytelling in between the meetings, because today is full of de meetings. Yep. And I'm not going to give you a list of de meetings, but I wonder, do you have a day ahead of you in which you have nothing but meetings, wall-to-wall meetings? And no matter what the content of each of the meetings is, one of the things on your mind is, how can I get out of this meeting without getting an extra thing on my to-do list? If your day is like that, then I empathize with you. I empathize with you. I have a day ahead of me. I have several meetings. All of them I'm looking forward to. But I will admit that I'm hoping that I will resist the impulse to adopt more to-dos into my list. If I do that, I'm already adding to an in-tray that's deliciously full. My in-tray is deliciously full. I like that, actually. I like that. I mean, if you're stuck with an in-tray that's so bloody big that it's nearly crucifying you, it is a heck of a lot better to describe it as deliciously full than saying, you know, I've got a carbuncle on my brain. No, today is a rich day, exotic day, stretching day, challenging day. And do you know what? As they say in Shakespeare, the mind can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. So every day is like this, isn't it? So what do we do? We're both humans. You're listening to me. I'm listening to myself, listening to you. Whatever's going on is conversational. Everything I say connects up with whatever you're saying to yourself already. Even if you're full of mindfulness, the chances are that random thoughts will come past your mind as you're listening to this. They'll distract you for hopefully just the tiniest split second. They'll move on. But it's all conversational within yourself, isn't it? You are actually associating this. You might even be saying, I wish you'd hurry up and get on with this. Get this over with. It's going on too long. Well, here I am, empathizing. So I'm having an imaginary conversation with you, and I'm hearing myself having an imaginary conversation with you. So I'm imagining myself, listening to myself, and storytelling is this complicated art. So it's a storytelling day, all day today. Even when I'm in a meeting, we're making a story together. Now, it's not that very long. I admit that I used to be thinking, or, well, I suppose I have to be, if I let me be totally honest about this, and rather than sort of generalize, I never really thought like this, but I did meet other people who did, who thought that, well, you know, storytelling was for kids. Yeah. And even to say in a corporate document, you know, the story of this project is that we began on such and such, and we hit the following milestones. And but to use the word story would have been anathema to some. It wasn't the language of business life. And even to this day, you know, there are people who would say, when you look at them and say, you know, what's your, chat about your website, and you say, well, your website's a story. Whether you like it or not, it's a story. And they look at you as if, you know, you're talking a language, that's all that fuzzy kind of stuff, you know. But there is a growing body of thought. And I am, intellectually, I attribute it all to that man who came out of the World Bank and wrote a magnificent book about storytelling 20 or 30 years ago. Steve Denning, hero of mine. Even met him face to face a couple of times. Steve is in Washington, I think. Maybe Boston. Still going strong, last I heard of him. Published more than one book by now. Probably not that well known to people in Ireland. Very unlikely to listen to this. But he was the one who, you know, caused a mini revolution in some people's consciousness by coming out of the World Bank, having had a huge amount of experience, but coming out of the World Bank with a story, on the back of which he built a new life. And he probably wasn't even aware of how many other people's new lives he was facilitating by his own new life, because he spoke about the power of the story. So a whole lot of CEOs under the influence of this, you got around to doing, you know, instead of the traditional speech, they would begin the speech with a story. Now, some of them would actually not connect the bulk of their speech to the story, but they would tell a story. Some of them would go on the equivalent of presentation skills training for CEOs, and they would learn how to tell a joke. And that would be regarded as building empathy, rapport with the audience, and hooking their attention. Now, I'm going to characterize this in an unfair way when I do this, and I have to stress that I'm talking more out of imagination and memory than I am out of, oh yeah, I remember last Thursday I saw a CEO do this. But the challenge really is, isn't it, how to be a storyteller without causing people to experience resistance and say to themselves, stories are for kids. So as I turn around and see my daughter in the back of the car, I'm going to pay a little more attention to her now, and we'll get on with the rest of the day.